Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Very cool, very cool. We're talking about infinite possibilities, you know, and that river of dreams, river of life, river of all kinds of things that are ours to embrace and understand. And yeah, we are going to have Phil Goldberg here. And I just want to say, you know, he's a really cool guy. He's come to the church before. I've also seen him as a keynote speaker at Unity Village. And he's an interfaith minister. He's a counselor. He's written 21 books, I think. He's written the most famous one is American Vader. It's the best book. It received the top 10 award from the National Library Association and from the New York Times as the best book of 2010 on this subject. It's the subject of the history of Hinduism in America. And so Phil knows what he's talking about, but he also has a light touch. So he's bringing the Beatles and their spirituality to us next Saturday, as Judy said. It's going to be a bunch of fun. Our band, a 10-piece band, is going to be here to play. Also, you know, we put in the new projector last week. We got the old screen still. This week, the screen is arriving. It's 16 foot by 9 foot. I think it's a big old screen. It's going to go right in the middle there. We're installing it on Friday. So we're installing it Friday, and we're going to test it out on Saturday. So come on down, see what it's like. The tickets are only, we kept the tickets low, $10. You can buy them in the bookstore, or you can get them online, or you can just come on the night, yeah? And then the next day, he's going to speak in the services, and then he'll be doing the workshop in the afternoon on the Bhagavad Gita and the other texts from ancient India and how relevant they are to us today, because that's something close to my heart. But I know he's going to give a wonderful, it's going to be great. The whole weekend's going to be fun, so I hope you can be part of it. And affirm that the screen arrives, and it's easy to install. We have a number of people who are experts in doing this, and it'll be in there. You know, it's going to be in the center, but it's also possible that we might move it to the side and get another one and put two projectors. But for right now, to get something in that we can use, we're going to put it in the center. So, all right. The other thing was, I just wanted to say, Peter, I don't know if you had heard Peter, but we did raise $751 for our youth last week at the spaghetti. So that's great. Awesome. I have in my hands a green Bible, folks. It's called the Green Bible. And it's made of, you know, ecological material, soy ink, etc. It's got a cotton hemp linen cover on it. Really cool, man. And what makes it green, though, is that, you know, you heard of the red letter Bible, right? Where they put the words of Jesus in red. Well, it says all the references in the Bible to the environment in green. And there's over a thousand references throughout the Bible. What I like about it is, you know, so often the Bible has been used sort of to lift up man and his domination of nature. But really, that there's a lot of ecology in the Bible, right? And so it shows that those ancient writers were very open to caring for and being stewards of the earth, and so was Jesus. So I like this Bible. Unfortunately, I said it was available in the bookstore, and somebody went down and tried to find it. It's not there. We sold the last one, but you know, you can get these, and we can order them if you'd like in the bookstore if you'd like one. So I wanted to talk today about the miracles of nature. Nature is miraculous, and one of the key miraculous qualities is its self-renewing quality of nature, right? No matter what you throw at it, nature can respond, can come back from the dead, can totally transmogrify everything. You know, we may not survive on planet Earth, but guess what will? Mother Nature, right? Mother Nature's going to renew itself. Think of the dinosaurs, you know, they were on the planet for 150 million years, okay? And I just read in the newspaper this week that they're saying that they may have been in decline. It wasn't just the asteroid or whatever the crash landed on the Earth that wiped them out. They're already in decline because there were new species coming up. Whether that's true or not, they still lasted 150 million years. How long have we been here so far? Less than a million, right? So we got a long way to go to be as successful as the old dinosaurs. But the thing about it is, when the dinosaurs were wiped out and they were no more, not a problem for Mother Nature. Mother Nature came along and created new, a whole new multiplicity for the ecosystem, right? Some dinosaurs survived that became birds. Did you know that? The birds are little dinosaurs, basically. But then there were mammals back in the dinosaur age that were just like little rats, and they've evolved into all the multiplicity we see today, from the tiger to the deer to human beings to monkeys, to all these mammals that we see around us. That's the endless renewing quality of Mother Nature. And I would suggest, since we are made from and of Mother Nature, then we also have those powers of renewal within us, yes? Yeah, anybody remember the river that burst into flames back in the 60s? Yes, in Cleveland. And, you know, it was so polluted, nothing could live in it. You could drop the living thing in, and it would die immediately. Terrible. And yet now, supposedly, it's renewed. It's completely clean as a result of our taking charge. You know, that we don't want to live in that kind of destruction. It's the same in my homeland. When I grew up, the river that ran through Cardiff was called the Taff, and it was black, completely black, because it was all coal dust, basically. Now, some things did live in there. There were a few fish. We used to go fishing, but you would not want to eat those fish. But a couple of years ago, I went back, and the river was clear. And I cried because it was so amazing. You know, never seen the bottom of that river before. But now all the coal mines had gone, and a renewal had taken place. They started to reforest the mountains, and the river ran clear. What the beauty of that is, man in cooperation with nature produces restoration, right? Restoration comes. So everything's possible. Never say it's over, right? Whether it be nature or in their own heads, there is that always that possibility for self-renewal, for running clear again, even after you've been coal black. We are not a miserable sinner congregation, are we? We don't teach that, you know? We teach the clarity of the light of truth, the river of dreams and possibility flowing through us, yes? Amen? You know, new species are being found every year, it seems. You know, even though we think we know everything, we're discovering new species, and not always in the depths of the Amazonian rainforest, but also here, you know? So that's the beauty of it, isn't it? We don't know everything about how miraculous Mother Nature is. And the BioBlitz that happened this weekend over on Tandy Hills, they found different birds and bugs that didn't know existed over there. Now that's cool. So they're making a catalog of all the ecosystem that exists on that particular piece of our land. And if you look from Tandy Hills out over Gateway Park towards 121, it looks like a forest. And how often are we reminded that we live in a forest, in a city? Remember when I came from Britain originally, we have large areas of brick. And there's some parks, but a lot of it's, you know, built up. And I was amazed when I came to Austin and looked out, and it was all woods. When I came to Fort Worth, it's the same, you know? They're all big forests. We need them, don't we, because it's so darn hot. We need those shade trees, I guess. But it's, you know, how often do we give thanks for the fact that we live in a forest in the middle of the city, right? She gives thanks every day. True unity person. But sometimes we forget, you know, we're snarled up in all the... Life is a self-creating thing, isn't it? It can be as miserable or as joyous as we choose it to be. No matter what, though, Mother Nature and God is always pushing forward into possibility, right? Doesn't matter what you say. God's going to give. Doesn't matter if you say, I don't see any givingness. That's only true for you, not for God, not for the spirit within us, right? And that's the good news. So today I want to talk about why we should honor Mother Nature, why we should honor the creation. And there's 10 things I'll just throw out there. Number one, God created it. Do I need to say any more? God created it, therefore it's bound to be good, right? It's of God. And I don't like the word created with a D, because I think it's better with a S. God creates it. Because it's not like God created the universe and then walked off somewhere, right? God is infinitely, intimately involved with us. God interpenetrates. The creative process is happening here and now, right? And we can cooperate with it. It's not like God wandered off to see how it would end up. No, God is sure in it, working through it, right? Creating evolution, moving through things. And now we know evolution doesn't have to take millions of years. Creatures can change in a couple of generations. So it's not just about survival of the fittest, it is about a C word, consciousness. Consciousness. The biology can be affected by the mentality, right? Change your mind, you literally change your body. This is the miraculous nature of the creating, sustaining power of God. That's number one. And number two is, we already got it, it is good. It's good. God doesn't create shoddy stuff, right? God creates the best, and it's free. It's been given freely to us, so it is good. Listen, I want to read a poem from the Welsh. Actually, it's been translated into English because we wouldn't understand it in Welsh. But I like it translated too. It's good. This is by a 20th century poet called Eros Bowen, his name was. And it's entitled, "The Whole World is Full of Glory." Here is the glory of created things, the earth and the sky, the sun and the moon, the stars and the vast expanses. Here is fellowship with all that was created, the air and the wind, cloud and rain, sunshine and snow. And I like the end. It says, "All life, like the bubbling of a flowing river and the dark currents of the depths of the sea, is full of glory." All life, like the bubbling of a flowing river and the dark currents of the depths of the sea, is full of glory. How often are we aware of that, you know, of the goodness of it, of the glorious nature of it? Sometimes we spend whole weeks without thinking about it, yeah? But then when we do tune in, wow. And we tune in spring because we can't avoid it, you know? We've had the sort of the bare trees, and then what happens? Boom! Craziness, right? And it's been particularly amazing, isn't it, this particular spring? I think the combination of sun and rain and all that goes into it, it's just burst forth into glory, into possibility. It's good. It's joyous. It makes us feel grateful for being alive, yeah? I think even, you know, we're so used to the picturesque, you know, you got to go to Yellowstone or Yosemite or Grand Canyon, but there's beauty everywhere. I think our Unity Peace Garden's looking particularly beautiful. Do you have a little piece, a corner that you call your spot, your garden spot, that makes you feel good? It only takes a tiny little thing, doesn't it? Plant a flower, plant a shrub, and you've got that connection with something larger than ourselves. I love what Alice Sears said earlier. Get out of yourself, you know, by serving. That's powerful, right? That's a challenge, isn't it? It's like saying you don't even realize what's possible until you step forth and do it. And I think that's the same with our appreciation of anything, you know. You have to step forth into it. My wife said that yesterday. You know, when you're feeling a little down, get up and do something, you know. Exercise. Do some household chores, I think is what she told me. But that's good too, because we're working on a lot of chores. But she's right, you know, don't stew in stuff. Get out, enjoy the goodness of it. So that's number two. It's full of wonder. Not only is it full of wonder, it is beautiful, isn't it? Nature is beautiful. And you can't say it's all about flowers and butterflies, because you have to accept it's also about earthquakes and volcanoes and chaos as well. Because Mother Nature comes in two different forms, right? The pretty form, the benevolent form, but also the fierce form. Kali, as well as Parvati in the Hindu tradition. So you have to embrace both. You can't have the one without the other. And it's the same within us, you know. Storm and stress are evidence that it's possible to have peace. You wouldn't know what peace was unless you had storm and stress sometimes in our lives. So let's celebrate the whole of it, yeah? Isn't it amazing we live on the cusp of things, you know? We live just the perfect distance from the sun. Any further away or any closer, it would be impossible to live on the planet, yeah? So we're just at the right. We live on a planet that's boiling hot to thousands of degrees centigrade underneath the crust. But we're okay generally here, right? How delicate a balance is it for us to enjoy that beauty, you know? And the beauty is most precious because of that danger, isn't it? And the fact that we don't know how long it's going to go on for us. How long are you going to be on the planet? We don't know. So therefore, appreciate it, enjoy it, right? Enjoy its beauty. Number, what was that? Three? God created it. It's good. So are you. It's beautiful. And it's home, isn't it? It's the only home we have, you know? I know maybe one day we'll go out into space and create other places where we could live. But right now, this is home. Now, in a lot of traditional Christians, you know, fundamentalists act like this isn't our home. You know, that home is somewhere else, like in heaven or whatever, and this is a temporary stage. I don't subscribe to that. I think that this is home right now. Did you see that thing on Facebook? There's a cartoon, and this guy is coming towards the pearly gates. Saint Peter is there, you know, and Saint Peter says to him, "How did you enjoy heaven?" Interesting. Turned it up totally upside down. What if this place is actually heaven, right? And of course, we teach that it is in unity, but how often do we accept it, that that's the absolute truth, that this is actually heaven? Now, if it is actually heaven, you better enjoy it. Who knows what's beyond the pearly gates? I don't know. But see, you've got to appreciate that every moment is heavenly, really, because it's the only moment we've got, isn't it? It's the possibility to live life in a beautiful, glory-filled, wondrous way. That's the message, that this is our home. And, you know, a home, you create a sense of space or sense of place, right? That's so important. And like you said earlier, it's important to have a place where you feel peaceful. And it doesn't have to be created by things, but it can be created by energy or emotion. Like, for instance, playing music that can bring us into that peaceful place. Or have a little spot where we meditate every day, or whatever. Create a sense of place so that you feel connected to the earth, right? And to Mother Nature in that particular space. Because once you find it there, then you begin to see it everywhere. You notice this? When I can love myself and love one other person, then it's easier for me to love many more people because I've connected to love and I know it has no boundaries. Talk more about boundaries in a minute. Number five, it provides, doesn't it? Nature provides. Everything that we have on planet Earth that we enjoy comes from planet Earth, right? It comes from Mother Nature, from the food we eat to the clothes that are on our bodies right now to all the things that we make. Because even though our human ingenuity has created them, it comes from the raw materials of Mother Earth, yes? Whether it be cars or computers or whatever. And we've been given the ingenuity to create, but it all has its source in Mother Earth. Therefore, what follows from that? Gratitude, right? How often do we give thanks for where the groceries came from, you know? They didn't just come from the store. There was a whole line, wasn't there, that came from the original earth through all the distribution centers to the grocery store, to all the people who were working logistics there, to us, right? So it's huge, isn't it? So maybe we should go today to a grocery store and thank the checkout person, right? Well, I wonder what the heck's wrong with them. Thank a truck driver. We have truck drivers. How many truck drivers have we got? Now we got at least one with us today. And you go what? 2,000 miles every week? 4,600 miles every week to bring product to us, right? And to other people. So part of the circulation of the goods. So thank you for doing that. Stay safe on the road. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do that. I'd be sleeping most of the time, personally. That's true, yeah. What's that? Oh, gosh, all right. All right, that was number five. Was it number five? Yes. Number six, nature teaches interdependence because there are no boundaries in nature. Have you noticed this? Boundaries are human creations. Everything in nature flows. If you're on the road and you're going on the highway, you'll notice you're in one landscape, and you can see the horizon, drive down a little bit, you're in a whole totally different landscape. And sometimes when you're in the flat land, all you can think of is flat. And then you go a few more miles, you get into some hills, totally different, right? Because we've moved into a different landscape, but they're all connected, right? They may be totally different seeming to us, but they're connected together. So that interdependence is hugely important. Now, if nature is interconnected and interdependent, guess what? So are we, right? There is no real division between people. We are all interconnected. We are on one planet Earth. There may be a multiplicity of us. In fact, there's 7 billion of us now, right? But we are all connected. And to understand that is the way we heal our planet, isn't it? Because if we insist on seeing ourselves as separate and different from others, then we're condemned by that viewpoint. But if we want to move to a larger view of what's possible on our planet, we have to make connections, yeah? We have to extend to those we hate, to those we don't understand, to those we're ignorant of, yeah? Tough to do because there's parts of us we hate. So how can we extend love to people thousands of miles away, you know? But so it begins by being self-accepting, doesn't it? And allowing all those dark parts of ourselves to be okay, because they're part of the balance. They're the earthquake as opposed to the butterfly. And we have both within us. So interdependence. Number 7, nature returns to us what we give it. You know, if we look at it as a commodity, as a resource to be exploited, then we degrade ourselves because we become exploiters and consumers. And unfortunately, our economic system celebrates consumerism, right? The more stuff you've got, the more things you buy. I mean, what did the president tell us after 9/11? Keep buying. Keep buying. And I understand what he was saying. He was saying, act as if it's normal. You know, don't let them get to you. But the sad thing is, our whole system is based on more stuff, right? Whereas we've got to change that, I think, because if we exploit too much, I mean, 7 million people, that's a lot of people on the planet, we're going to have to change our ways in some way, right, to live more ecologically. And I ask people at 9:30, what can we do this week? One thing you can do as you go in your daily life, what can you do this week to live more in harmony with nature, not so exploitive, you know, and more appreciative of nature? What might it be? Yeah, there's that Tuesday thing, 10 on Tuesday. Yeah, have you heard about that? Yeah. What's the answer to that, folks? And it's true. There's something about the intentionality of Tuesday, right? If you can remember, oh, Tuesday I pick up 10 pieces of trash, you've made a start. If you're mindful all the time, and are picking up trash everywhere you go, great, you don't need the 10 on Tuesday. But it helps sometimes to be intentional, doesn't it? At that time, on that day, I'm going to do this. Now imagine if everybody did it, no trash, right? Because it only takes a little bit for each person to do. And that's the good news about this, I think, you know? Because sometimes we're overwhelmed, what can I do? Do something. And I'm going to be watching you now. Make sure, I'm going to spread trash all around and make sure you... No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. No, no, no. What else? What else can you do this week? All right. If you haven't got one already, start a compost bin. It's amazing what can go in that, you know. Plant a tree somewhere. Ride a bicycle. Say again. Be a vegan, yeah. That certainly cuts down on your carbon footprint right there. For those of us that are ready to do that in Cowtown, Texas. There's more vegan things now. It used to be difficult. You know, it used to be the spiral diner and that was it. But now you can find restaurants that cater to people. Yeah, what else? Resale shops, there we go. You know, recycling. Somebody said at 9:30, go for a walk. And I think there's something, and not just the exercise, but just the willingness to look around. You know, in the 19th century in France, they used to call them flâneurs. They were people that just went out of their house in the morning, just wandered all around Paris, basically, and saw what they saw, serendipitous things. And there's something to that, you know, just wandering around looking because you begin to see and you begin to appreciate things. It's a sense of place again. You're grounding to a sense of place. And so often we're not. We're busy doing everything but being present to what is, right? The other day we had to go to the darkest depths of Keller, I think it was, somewhere like that. And for some reason. And no, it's lovely up there. I love it. Anybody from Keller? Love you, man. Didn't mean to insult anybody. But, you know, you don't have to walk. It can be in a car. We went through all these different suburbs, and it's fascinating to see all the differences and the topography. You know, the topography is different, even though it's subtle in Texas. And you could see the streams and different houses. And, again, a lot of tree cover. We're very blessed with that. But just appreciating all that there is, you know, and celebrating it rather than seeing it as sprawl. Because sometimes I just... all I can see is sprawl, and then I don't appreciate. So I need to shift my attitude so I can appreciate, because we're living in these places. There's good things in them. There's life going on, yes? That was 7. 8. It's incredibly finely balanced, isn't it? Nature in its right place when it hasn't been tinkered with, yeah? I read this week that this is the first time for over 100 years that Yellowstone National Park is now a full ecosystem again, because they reintroduced wolves, and now it's got the complete ecosystem from top to bottom, right? And this is wonderful to me, you know, that we have places, natural wild places in our country and on our planet that have this full ecosystem. Why is that so important? Because balance is restored, right? If you cut off the carnivores, then the ruminants go crazy. You've got a million deer, which we have a problem in Texas, too many deer. Even though we cull them, we shoot and hunt, there's still too many deer. The hogs are another thing. You know, when we tinker with the ecosystem, it tends to throw up weird things. What? So it comes back to eat meat now, okay? The more deer we can eat, the better. Go for the venison, protect the ecosystem. Nothing is ever as simple as it seems, is it? I'm eating meat for Jesus, okay? But we are finely balanced too. You know, if you throw ourselves off kilter, then our systems didn't work too well either. And so there's a sense of being mindful with our own bodies and minds as well, yeah, to have that wholeness. And to go in one direction or another can be foolishness, I think. Everything's good in moderation, including moderation. Thank you, Chuck. Only on Tuesdays do I pick up trash. Number 9, our gift as human beings is self-awareness, isn't it? Most of us, hopefully, are somewhat self-aware, right? It's a great gift we've been given. What's the downside to self-awareness? Selfishness. We think we're gods, right? We think we're gods because we have awareness. So therefore, we have choice. We have choice to dominate or to serve, right? And unfortunately, throughout history, the domination system has been very strong. But then there's another thread with spirituality, which is not dominating, but serving. Listen to what Anton Chekhov wrote, great Russian dramatist. He wrote this back in the 19th century. I couldn't believe it. It could have been written today. And unfortunately, it could have been written today. But it shows you how long this domination has been going on. He says this, man has been endowed with reason, with the power to create, with self-awareness, right? Which gives us great gifts so that he can add to what's been given. And isn't that what we want to remember it for? Did you add something good to this life, to this world? We don't want to be ones that take away only, right? We want to be something that left something meaningful. Did we give love? I don't think, you know, God is interested in how much you've earned or what you've accomplished as much as how have you spread love and kindness, right? How have you added to that? Because we magnify the good, don't we? And we change everything when we do that. Man has been endowed with reason, with the power to create, so that he can add to what's been given. But up to now, he hasn't been a creator, only a destroyer. Forests keep disappearing, rivers dry up, wildlife becomes extinct, the climate ruined, written in 18-something, and the land grows poorer and uglier every day. Wow. Luckily, I think that's still true and also untrue, because I think we've done a good job in some ways, like to restore wolves to Yellowstone. And what could have been the national bird, the turkey, you know, they were going to name it the national bird at one point, almost wiped out from the States back 100 years ago, now thriving. So things can come back, right? There is good here. It's not just a story of total devastation, yeah? But it is a clarion call to be aware, isn't it? What Anton Chekhov is saying, and other eco-minded people. And that's why I love BioBlitz and I love Tandy Hills, because it's a green lung of biodiversity right in the middle of our city. Wow. How many cities can boast that? We have the largest nature center in America, I think, at the Fort Worth Nature Center. How many people can boast that? Not many. So we have a lot of gifts right in our midst here. Finally, number 10, rest is inbuilt into nature, right? After all, you know, Jesus sweated for 6 days, but then he had a day of rest. And if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for us, right? And what I see by that is nature works crazily in spring, but in winter there's that resting, isn't there? There's that fallow time. And if we want our soil to be good, you have to allow fallow time for your soil too. It can't be used exclusively all the time. So there has to be that resting. And I love that idea. It means for us too, as creatures and beings of God, that it's time. There's times to take time out, right? Time apart, not just on Sunday, but time each day to meditate, to be quiet, to pray, to be renewed. M. Scott Peck said it's about sharpening the saw. You know, if you're going to live the intentional life, a highly meaningful life, you have to have a time to do nothing, just to be calm and to rest and take in. Let me end with this poem on this theme by R.S. Thomas, great Welsh poet. He was also a minister. And it's called The Other. He talks about the other as a being, but I like to think of it as beingness, because it interpenetrates everything. But we get his point. He's talking about this presence. He says, there are nights that are so still that I can hear the small owl calling far off and a fox barking miles away. It is then that I lie in the lean hours, awake and listening to the swell born somewhere in the Atlantic, rising and falling, rising and falling, wave on wave on the long shore by the village that is without light and companionless. And the thought comes of that other being who is awake too, letting our prayers break on him, not like this, for a few hours, but for days, years, for eternity. And I love that. There's that stillness that comes, you know, when you hear that oceanic flow back and forth, hear the cicadas singing in Texas. You don't have to go to the sea, but feel that rhythm of nature at night, hear the birds calling in the middle of the night sometimes. And then he likens it to the fact that we offer up our prayers to Mother Nature, right? And God never rejects any prayer, right? God takes it in always, for years, for eternity. There's no rejection here. God doesn't say, I don't like you right now, go away. God says, no, you're welcome in my universe. Mother Nature is your home, right? And to return the favor, what do? We say, thank you. Thank you for the beauty of Mother Nature. Thank you that I live in this amazing planet, in this amazing universe of infinite possibility. Because I think, finally, that's why God created the universe, you know? God created the universe so they could see how it unfolded and see when the beings that he created remember the truth and come back home to him, come back home to the one, to the presence, and say thank you and lift up their joyous voices, you know, in praise and wonder and thanksgiving. That makes God, I think, Father, Mother, God, very happy indeed, because it magnifies the good that's possible in our world. So for that, thank you, God. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. And I am grateful.